VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live, as always, on this Saturday after Thanksgiving. If you want to find out for sure that we're not making this up, then all you got to do is pick up the phone and call 904-222-8255, and we will put you on immediately. You know, so many of the shows over weekends like this are pre-recorded or reruns or whatever. It's nice to see Howard and Angela ahead of us, and I imagine Joe was live. I didn't get it turned on in time to find out, but it's nice to see people come in and do this on the weekends. It is, after all, Small Business Saturday, and we all are, after all, small businesses.
That is true.
So if you're out and about shopping today, patronize a local privately owned small business. And just let them know that you're happy that you don't have to do all your business at the mall.
Speaking of which, I think a few people might have been out shopping yesterday.
It must have been a rumor because I didn't see any of them.
I didn't either, but then again,
I wasn't
out.
Of course, we were
both home. Yeah.
That's the one day a year that I am absolutely dedicated to going nowhere near retail environments.
For me, that's all of the days of the year. But
well, I know. You're even worse than I am.
Yeah.
But anyway, obviously it was going very well for the retailers of the country.
But the economy it's falling apart.
Yeah, we got a little bit on that.
Yeah.
If the stock market were to actually emulate the economy, we wouldn't have had this week. Yeah, there are a lot of words over the last few years that I really detest using, some because they're so misused, some have been co-opted by political types, one of those being fair. I hate that word anymore because it has no meaning.
No.
But in trying to find a word that I could sum up this week using, I had to first cancel all the ones you can't say on the radio. And then I got down to one that I'm going to use anyway, even though I pretty much detest it because it happens to fit. That one wonderful word is annoying. This week was annoying.
Oh, extremely.
All the fits and starts that we could go through, and all day Wednesday, we had a nice recovery going on.
And blew it at the end.
And that last 30 minutes, it just took everything. In fact, as I commented to Adam with about 20 minutes left in the day, I think it was, that, you know, they're going to take this puppy down negative.
Yeah. Well, the Dow was, by just a little.
Yeah, but 0.95. They couldn't have made it up one, down one.
Yeah.
Just to totally deflate all the investors of the world. But things aren't as gruesome as you might think, and we'll be proving that as we go through the market wrap. So buckle up, and for all you regulars, thanks for coming back. And if you're new to the show, listen up, and let's see if you don't learn something. We're going to try like heck to come up with some new things that'll be interesting to you. So here we go. You might as well talk about it because I don't see how we can avoid it.
Yeah, so last week I said the market had an election hangover, and this week the market got violently ill. It was ugly. There's no other way to describe it. Everything sold off. There wasn't anywhere to hide. It was just ugly.
It was.
And the Dow dropped over 1,100 points during the week, totaling a 4.4% loss. NASDAQ equaled that horrible performance, dropping 4.3%, while the broader S&P 500 held up a little better, only shedding 3.8%.
Woohoo.
The quarter has been awful, and the only glimmer of good news is that year-to-date, the Dow is only down 1.8%, the S&P off 1.5%, and the NASDAQ is actually still up positive by 0.5%. It's not great news, but it's something. It just means that this year has been essentially flat, but it's been a wild ride.
It's like going from one side of a mountain range to the other.
Yeah.
It's not a straight line.
If you go back 1 year from today, we're still positive, but the month of December last year was pretty good. So
I have compiled a bunch of checkpoints for the year, which I will go over. But first, I wanted to say that there's something very, very strange that happened this week. I read an article by Jim Cramer. Now, if you've been listening to me for a long time, you know what I think of him.
He's an entertainer.
He's a funny entertainer whose focus is the market. But as a counselor to investors everywhere, I pretty much say, don't listen to him unless you're just looking for a laugh. Don't take the advice, because the man is not all that serious.
I would say that about almost anyone on TV who does stock picking.
You have a point, except Stuart Varney. He's the guru.
But he doesn't really do stock picking either.
No, but I digress. Anyway, Cramer says 10 things have to get fixed, and I've read it, and I actually agreed with him.
And he sent it to me, and I read it, and I agreed with him also.
And we decided, since this has been so rare and that I think he was spot on, I'm going to go over those 10 points with an eye toward hopefully making everybody feel a little bit better. But I'll do that after the first break. Meanwhile, I do have some checkpoints. But anything else you want to do, or do you want to get off of this topic?
Well, no, I actually want to. There is something I want to talk about.
Good.
I think it's important to remember we're coming off a quarter that saw record-breaking profits for the S&P 500 companies. And when I say record-breaking, I mean all-time highs.
Yeah.
So things were looking really good going into this quarter. There is increasing skepticism that Trump will be able to cut a deal with China, which I still believe he can. So oil is in a free fall. The global economy appears to be cooling, probably trade-related. And we have a Congress that's dead set on making sure that no Republican agenda gets passed. So on top of that, interest rates are rising.
You're talking about the current one run by Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till next month or 2 months.
It gets more fun.
So the economic data this week also adds some negatives to it. So there are really some headwinds right now. And I don't think I'm wrong about saying that. There are headwinds. It's not a full-on hurricane, but there are some hurdles to that we need to get over.
Some real, some imaginary.
But despite all of that, there are a number of things that have not happened that would signal that we are headed into a recession. For one, gold is still low, really low. It hasn't spiked at all.
Nope.
And what happens before a recession? Gold spikes.
Gold spikes. Fear factor.
The job market, still really strong. The media was trying to make something out of the jump in jobless claims this week. It came in at 224,000. Anything under 300,000 is considered very strong. So a jump from 208 or whatever to 224 is absolutely meaningless. The third thing is that the yield curve, still not inverted. When that happens, then look out. A recession's probably coming. And interest rates are higher, but you have to remember, they're not high.
No.
They're higher. And we've been spoiled for 10 years. So having interest rates where they are today is not even remotely damaging to the economy. It's all of these things. These things could all predict a recession, not 100% accurate, but pretty good indicators, and none of them are flashing right now. So just keep that in mind as we go into the rest of the year.
It's absolutely true. But just quickly, here's some things that you might want to know. The Dow today, I don't do a lot of numbers on the radio because it's hard to follow, 24,286. That's our reference point. Since Election Day, it's up 5,953. That's Election Day of 2016. As of 12/31/17, the end of last year, it's down 433. But as of 2/8/18, it's up 426. As of 3/23/18, it's up 753. As of 6/27, it's up 168. And since 10/29, it is down a mere 157 points. So any way you look at it, going back over the last couple of years, we have been on a tear. It's not over. It's just on pause mode. Don't go anywhere. We've got a bunch more fun stuff after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question today, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888. That's local area code 904. And he will probably answer your phone. All right. The question today is about, I guess, the relativity of the market and what we hear and what we know and what we don't know and all those things. You've probably heard of the FANG stocks. or nowadays we've kind of expanded that to the FANG stocks, having a double A in there. That's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. They have been pummeled, thwapped, beaten, desecrated. How many adjectives can I think of? Lots and lots. After all that, what is the change in the value of the FANGs, meaning the combination of all five of the prices, over the past 12 months to the day?
And that's,
I need direction and percentage.
You're not cap weighting that, are you?
I am not cap weighting it. It is just some of the prices a year ago, some of the prices today.
Okay.
And that's SUM. So I'm not being picky
right.
either.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Jim Cramer. Mark this day on your calendar, the day I talk about Cramer.
In a positive way.
In a positive way. Right. Anyway, he says that 10 things have to happen. Number one, Apple. Stories of Apple's alleged sales slowdowns are getting repetitive.
Every quarter.
It's all
every
year.
Year. It's crazy.
He says the market can't stabilize until Apple stabilizes. Well, that's probably true. Now, let's look a little deeper. Cramer's own charitable trust owns Apple. He is long Apple. He has been long Apple. And it is his intent to stay long Apple. My view, Apple's a long-term hold. With its huge installed base, giving the company's service revenue stream a lot of room to grow. Guess what's happening in Microsoft? Guess what's happening in Apple? Service business, rentals, and music and all that, they're taking over hardware percentage-wise. Yes, Apple will always make wonderful hardware, but the growth in its revenue stream is not going to come from hardware sales, I believe. And they know that, and they've been working on it ever since the invention of the iPod.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Apple's an important company, and yes, they won't be on top forever. But I don't see any signs right now of them losing popularity.
No, and they're going to be buying a lot more domestic content when Foxconn gets built up in our old stomping grounds. And it is basically a very fundamental part of this economy. They still have wonderful products, and there's no reason to think they're going anywhere. All we got to do is get them to the point where they're forecasting a little more optimistic view, I guess, than before.
I can see five of their products from where I'm sitting right now, by the way.
I'm not surprised. If you go to my house, you'll see a bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Facebook. Now, this one's real interesting. He says, and I kind of tend to agree with him, that this company will recover sharply if Sheryl Sandberg leaves the company.
I'm not sure that that's really the reason, but I know that right now it's the popular mantra.
Yeah. Well, the outlook for Zuckerberg is that he will remain in his job for a while. That's the way I see it. The guy, obviously a brilliant guy who has done a great job in bringing this whole thing together, but they're so biased they can't see straight, and they're getting caught.
Yeah, and it's kind of an impossible position because they've gotten where they are by selling data. They didn't get there by not selling data. So the fact is they weren't forthcoming about it. That exactly. was their big mistake. But everyone knew it anyway. So I don't really, it's hard to really blame him for that portion of it. But the bias thing has got to go.
Yep. And Cramer says, again, you got to think about what's going on here. He's long Facebook and he's staying that way. But he says if he weren't, he wouldn't be jumping in right now. Because there's no reason to jump in front of a speeding freight train, or as I always put it, there's no reason to try to catch a falling knife.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Facebook stock right now.
No, I'm not either. All right, software. Declines in the software industry. The stock prices do not reflect it. For instance, there was a sharp drop in 2016. A Salesforce went from $81 to $54, and there wasn't any news.
Nope.
It just got out of favor. Exchange-traded funds at group-related stocks can pressure shares of high-quality companies, he says. The incredible thing is that there's no concrete evidence whatsoever that anything is really wrong. And yeah, he's right about that.
That's true. I agree. If you look at, say, VGT, it's the Vanguard Technology Fund ETF, and if you don't most likely you don't own Facebook stock by itself, but right. let's say that you've heard that the fangs are out of favor and you want to lighten up on technology. What are you selling? VGT.
Exactly.
What else does that hold? Software.
Yep, you got it. So he says these brutal declines in techs typically end when the longs are finished selling. So the naysayers who own it and are getting irritated are still selling. Then valuations can be sustained. And we're not there yet. Okay, I'll give them that. No problem. Dip buying. For the first time since the financial crisis, dip buying has failed. And he's right, because we keep making new lows. So when it looks like a good deal so far, it hasn't been. The NASDAQ is littered with these breakdowns. The presumption is that 2019 will be a down year. How can you rebut it? I have no real comeback to that, except to say right now dip buying is dead just because we haven't had any clarity. Well, I'll take it a little further than that. 2019 is going to be a dynamite year for business. The problem with 2019 is that the tax cuts already kicked in 2018, so the comparison people are going to make is, well, they grew their percentage growth a lot more in 2018 than they did this year. Well, of course they did. That was the biggest shot to the bottom line ever in the history of this country, just through the taxation. Well, the taxation's the same this year. You're not going to get another 20% jump because of taxes alone, but that doesn't mean it's a problem.
But that goes on in perpetuity as long as the tax law stays. Yeah. So also, I don't know that that dip buying thing is correct, though. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it can't happen.
One of these days, absolutely.
I mean, we were still lower than this in February, and that dip was bought into, and it worked out. So, and there was a second dip in March, that was about the same level. Yeah, so.
If you look at the chart of the Dow or the S&P, the one this year, it's really sharply noticeable what happened back then, and it bounced right back.
Mm-hmm.
China, basically what he's saying is we got to get a deal with China. And that's something we've been saying for weeks. How could I disagree with them?
That's my whole theme of last week.
The Fed. We have a theory that the Fed is totally independent. It's not really. Sort of is, but it's not really.
Mm.
There's only one guy that can fire the Fed chief.
Yeah,
and
true.
That's President Trump. So believe me. They do their policy independently, but they make their actions considering some things. And when Powell is looking around right now, wondering exactly what he should do, I think the clamor is getting louder and louder to just give us a little break. I am to the point now where I'm really kind of favoring no change in December.
That's a tough one for me because
I wouldn't bet more than a quarter on it.
Yeah, if you ask me what the right thing to do, I would say it is to raise rates.
Yeah, but you ask me what the politically correct thing to do is?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. And Cramer's comment is very simple. I'm not in charge.
Nope, me neither.
Neither are we.
They don't call us for opinions.
Nope. All right, number 7, confusion. Some of the stocks are bucking the broad decline, and they're not necessarily in places that you would think. But given that nobody thinks you can slip into a recession so fast after such strong economic numbers, there's genuine confusion. Confusion makes people want to sell. Absolutely true. That's between your ears. Number 8, technicals. The technicals look pretty bad. The market will be hard-pressed to find a bottom with key support levels falling through left and right. And he's right about that, and that's based on some of the other things that people are just negative the market right now mentally. But the market itself is turning in some good numbers from an earnings standpoint. Retail. Those who think the economy is so strong it can handle any number of interest rate hikes are fooling themselves. You look at the good retailers that have been shelled after they reported. Companies like Macy's, Home Depot, and Walmart, that's the market telling you it's concerned, and it doesn't seem to concern the Fed. Adam and I were just talking in the break. If you look at any of the major retailers a year ago now and now, they're still up huge, 25, 30, 33% in 1 year. Even though they've been crashing around us lately, they were just flat out overheated.
Target dropped 10% one day this week.
It's just, there's no particular reason. Now, number 10, selling. We aren't even that oversold yet. He said a bounce could be a long ways away or just a little. There's too much hope. There's not enough hatred in my Twitter feed, he says. The more he's hated, the better off things are. Which I thought was kind of the key point in this whole thing.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Yep. Final thoughts. I don't see a way around the sell-off until these 10 problems get fixed, Kramer lamented. I've been highlighting these issues for what feels like ages. There's always some new people watching, though. These have only grown more acute with time, which is why we could be headed lower, even if we get a snapback rally from an oversold position. I got to hand it to Mr. Kramer. I think he absolutely nailed it this time. And what he's, if you condense everything I just said, he says, I have no idea what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and I don't think all 10 things need to be fixed. I think a handful of them could fix it.
Fix China, you got it.
Yeah, true.
If you really want to put a priority on it, you get a trade deal with China where all the tariffs are either eliminated or at least brought down to a reasonable level, you're going to see this market take off. What day will it happen? I don't know. I do know this, though. Talks are ongoing as we speak. All right, got a bunch more fun stuff after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And the lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. We are here live. Give us a call and we talk about whatever you want to. And I'm going to give you a list of things here in a minute, reasons that you might want to call a show like this and discuss things. But first, the trivia question, again, sponsored by First Coast Alarm at 636-7888. What has been the one-year change in the FANG stocks, FAANG, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google? We know they've been beaten up lately, but what has actually happened to them over the last 12 months after all that time and all those gyrations? Direction and percentage to get it right. All right, why would anybody call a financial radio show? Well, because they might be having questions about such things as investing, the economy, personal finance in general, budgeting, whatever. Maybe they're considering life insurance, or maybe they have some that they don't know if they ought to keep. Maybe somebody's pitching them annuities, or maybe they bought one, and maybe they don't like it. Fixed or variable, what can we do? Well, you can do 1035 exchanges for one. How about estate planning? Do you have wills? Do you have trusts? Do you have powers of attorney? Do you have medical paperwork to say, if I can't do it, who can? How about insurance in the form of disability or long-term care, considering any of that? This is one we've had many times. Should I retire or can I retire? How about this one? This is a real biggie. We handle a lot of these. When should I claim Social Security? We also have seen a lot of these lately. I'm getting an inheritance, and I don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
How about just financial terminology? What does this mean? There's a lot of that going around. How about tax planning? We have a brand new tax act as of this year, and it's going to be a little bit better next year. And that they change in the brackets. I have current numbers on that we'll bring in a little bit. What are you thinking about selling a home or a business or buying a bigger home or buying a smaller home? What about reverse mortgages? How about contemplating a divorce or you are divorced? What's going to happen with your alimony? Yeah, things are changing a lot next January. What about you have a current advisor and you're not sure that he or she is trustworthy or doing a good job, and you want to just get a second opinion? What about college savings? You want to start something for your kids, grandkids, whatever? What about considering alternative investments in your IRA, like real estate? What are the pitfalls? What are the advantages? We've had so many phone calls over the years on so many subjects. They're literally unlimited. I made up this list in about 60 seconds. It was that quick. So there's a lot of things that we know how to talk about. We're not the same as your stockbrokers who only want to talk about what stock to buy. We look at an overall package of financial decision-making over your lifetime, and that is why you would seek out a fee-only, registered investment advisor like us who are also certified financial planners.
And fiduciaries.
And fiduciaries, yes. And that's a good one, too. Have you ever asked your advisor, are you a fiduciary? And if so, did you get an immediate yes, or did you get a hem and a haw or a no? Those are bad. Those are really bad. You really want that. So just some things to think about. Everybody has questions. Everybody has things happen to them. You've reached a lot of decision points in your life. What should I do? And it doesn't cost you anything to pick up the phone.
And call us at 685-1505 during business hours. But also you can find us online, fanweefinancial.com. You don't even need to call. You can just right from our website, click on book a meeting and schedule an initial consultation. It's a 1 hour meeting with us. There's no cost. We sit down, go over whatever you want to go over, your financial situation, and we are definitely not high pressure. So if at the end of that meeting you don't want to do business with us, that is okay.
It's just fine.
We will leave you with some good advice, and hopefully you continue to listen to the show. But if you do, we can take it from there. So definitely look at our website, fanweefinancial.com. There's lots of good stuff on there. All of our shows are on there in the form of a podcast, commercial-free. And we have a blog, lots of good stuff in there. So check it out.
All right. IRS has been making some changes, and they're beneficial to all of us. Finally, after what seems like a long, long time due to the lack of reported inflation, we get some new limits for your IRA contributions. So starting January 1, you'll be able to put $6,000 rather than $5,500 in for the year. And the catch-up contribution has not changed. That's another $1,000 for those of us who are 50 and over. New 401k limits also. They jumped up to $19,000 from $18,500. And again, the catch-up contributions are unchanged, but still there. The catch-up contribution will be $6,000 for the 401k. So if you want 19 and 6, you can do $25,000, better than $2,000 a month. And that does not come off your Social Security bill, but it comes directly off your income tax. It is a good deal. The inflationary adjustments, when this piece was written, had not been in on the tax brackets, but they came in, and I've got it here just to the side. But first, super savers 50 plus can sock away $32,000 per year, 401k on top of an IRA or Roth IRA, and you add it all up with your catch-up contributions, you can tuck away $32,000.
Not bad.
And that's if you're not self-employed and have a successful business. The new amount that's considered for your solo 401k or your SEP IRA has been increased from $55,000 to $56,000. That's a good thing. And the total compensation for the deferral and the company contribution has been raised to a base of $280,000. Another very nice thing. The rich person pension just got better. I don't even know why they'd consider a rich person pension. I don't know anybody, I guess. That's not something you mostly have to worry about. Super Savers 50 plus, again, $32,000, bigger contributions for the self-employed, but most of all, your IRAs just get bigger and bigger. I wish, and I'm going to get to that too, that it would actually get even better than that, and I'll bring that up in a little bit.
The thing that always bothers me is the disparity between the 401k and the IRA.
Yep.
Because a lot of people don't have access to a 401k, so all they can do is an IRA. And why should you not be able to contribute what you can to a 401k? It just is, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. That's been a disparity that they have not even attempted to fix. All right, new tax brackets are here. The standard deduction is increased for 2019, rising to $12,200 for singles. That's up from $12,000. $24,400 for married couples. That's a good thing. Heads of household get a $350 boost. It'll be $18,350. Those are all very good things. For those of us who are becoming more and more plentiful, those of us who are not itemizing anymore, it will make a big difference that you get that extra amount.
And honestly, this year, if you're on the fence about, if you were close to that $24,000 as a married couple last year, and you're wondering whether to go through the exercise, I would say don't bother, because it's just a lot of headache that you don't really need, because $24,000 is a pretty big standard deduction anyway. I'm just not even worrying about it. I'm not tracking my charitable donations this year. It's just not worth it.
You got to be you got to pay some serious property taxes and some serious mortgage interest.
Yeah, and I just don't have it, so I'm just not worrying about it.
Really charitable,
right?
Some people are really charitable.
Yeah, we're not in a position to be that charitable yet. Hopefully someday, but it's, you know, if you were close to that level last year, honestly, it's probably not worth the effort.
We give of our time by doing the show. That's the way I see it. What are you laughing at? The lifetime gift and estate tax exemption will be $11.4 million per person, up from $11.18 million. And the amount that any one person can gift any other one person remains at $15,000 with no paperwork and no taxes. And that is also a good thing. The tax brackets themselves have been widened, and I have them here. The 10% bracket rises to $95,25 for single, $19,400 for married. The 12% rate now runs to $78,950. The 22% bracket runs to $168,400. 24% to $321,450. 32% to $408,200. 35% to $612,350. And the 37% bracket doesn't kick in until $612,351. So those are all really nice numbers, and that's what's going to help most people out there, not the itemizing. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Banwe Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banwe Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banwe.
And I'm Adam Banwe.
And this segment is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can give Troy a call at 662-9794. And do remember that this week, or this day, is Small Business Saturday. So go spend a little of your hard-earned at a local family-owned or individually-owned business. They will be very grateful that you do.
We're going to do that right after this and watch some football.
It's going to involve football and probably something to do with some libation.
That might happen.
It could, yes. Possibility. But anyway, you hear a lot of rumors, stories, nonsense, lies about the tax cut all going to the 84% of the tax cut went to the richest 1% or something like that. What a crock.
I mean,
that's a political ruse, nothing more.
Always.
Who got hurt? An incredible number of people actually got hurt. How about homeowners with large mortgages and some with home equity credit lines? Well, there's a new limit on interest deductibility for mortgages and home equity lines. Mortgage interest is limited for new mortgages only, I could add, $750,000.
Now, I don't think it's fair to say who got hurt, because they
didn't get helped.
Well, not necessarily, because in a lot of cases, people in those high-cost states that lost some of that, they no longer pay AMT. So they actually come out slightly ahead. So you can't really just blanket statement say they got hurt.
There is a point to be made there, and that's very fair. Interest on the HELOC not used for acquisition, building, or improvements is no longer deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't pass $1 million in loans for acquisition.
Right.
So it tells you that not everything went to the rich. How about this one? Number two, itemizers with high combined state and local taxes. Well, Adam just alluded to that. Yes, they did get something. They got a $10,000 ceiling, which hurt them, but the lack of AMT might bring
for some people, not for everyone.
But if you live in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, California, Illinois, someplace like that, you're probably not a happy camper.
But I actually have a friend who is in that situation in California, and we've talked about it a lot.
He came out okay.
Yeah, because he was having to pay AMT every year, right? Because they make a lot of money. Well, not a lot of money for California, a lot of money for the rest of the world.
AMT is not gone, though. You can still be subject to it.
No, but he no longer has to pay it. And they also, I think they gained some from the business pass-through deduction. And so their net was slightly lower taxes, but pretty even with the loss of SALT. So,
okay. I've got more on this coming up in a minute, too. Self-employed taxpayers, if you earn more than $157,500 as a self-employed individual, or for a married couple, $315,000, you do not get access to the 20% deduction that is thrown in for the rest of us that don't make that kind of money in our business. So the richer you are from your personal business, the less likely you are to have benefited from this.
That is correct.
That is not called taxing the rich only, or saving the rich only. I mean, it's called taxing the rich only. Parents and taxpayers with dependents. Some families have a lot of kids. They used to get $3,400 apiece in personal exemptions from them. Well, they are no longer in existence. Now, they do get the higher standard deduction, but there's going to be some of those people who get hurt.
No, because you get a credit. You get a tax credit.
But if you make enough money, that tax credit goes away, which means we're taxing the rich again.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't give me this stuff about 84% going to the rich. The more money you make, the more they're going to take from you. And then there's the soon-to-be divorced taxpayers. After 12/31/18, a divorce has different consequences for taxes. Alimony is no longer deductible to the payer, and it is included in income for the payee.
Wait.
You can't deduct it. No, it's not included in income.
Correct.
Yeah, the bigger earner always pays the
taxes.
Taxes.
So that means that they're going to be at a higher marginal rate.
Which means your divorce attorney better be on top of it.
Exactly.
Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Great, Larry.
Good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Wonderful. Adam and Jess did a great job. Got everybody fed to perfection.
Fantastic. We did, too. We went up to Georgia and had time with our family up there, and now we're back and about to have a birthday party for a little boy. So
nice.
It's my youngest daughter's birthday today.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Henry just turned one. His birthday was on Thanksgiving Day, as a matter of fact.
Oh, nice. Hers is once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, last year at Thanksgiving, I was out trying to find food because we were in the hospital with a newborn. So that was a lot of fun.
Chinese food, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, actually, I went to a Starbucks, and the guy, I was just buying a whole bunch of stuff, and the guy found out we're in the hospital. He gave me probably $40 worth of food for free.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned that my wife had just had a baby the night before, and he just gave it to me for free. So
good for him.
That's great.
Yeah,
good.
But
you're a Starbucks customer now.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife is. I don't do the coffee thing. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good one. Is there a trivia question, or have I missed it?
I saw your text, Larry. I was just about to have my dad read it again. So.
What is the change, the one-year change in the FANG stocks, the Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google? I need plus or minus and the percentage. 1 year exactly, November 24th to November 24th.
1 year.
Yep.
I'm going to say zero.
You are too low. So we now know it has a plus sign on it.
Yep.
So you've created a bracket from 0.1 to infinity.
And Larry, did you get the Makeup Publix gift card that we sent?
When did you send it? I haven't.
It should have been over a week ago, so you should have it.
Okay, I'll check my mail and see.
Talk to your wife and ask her if she put it into her purse and is keeping it from you.
She very well might be.
Yeah. So we had
if I update you on Messiah for Hunger Fight?
Yes, please do.
Well, again, what we're doing, our church is performing Handel's Messiah this Christmas as a benefit for Hunger Fight, and Hunger Fight provides meals for food insecure students in our schools. And the numbers nationally, about 1 out of 6 kids deal with this. And in Northeast Florida, it's 1 out of 4, approaching 1 out of 3.
Jeez.
It's a major problem. Yeah, it is. In Duval County, I got a statistic last week, there's 90,000 kids that deal with this. And there's just not enough food at home to be healthy, and they have a hard time learning. And interestingly, in the past few weeks, as we've advertised this, I've had administrators and teachers in my church come up to me and say things like, you know, I know those numbers sound outlandish, but we see this every day.
Wow.
We see it every day, and especially on Mondays when a lot of these kids haven't eaten all weekend long. I had an administrator tell me that they're lined up an hour before school starts, like banging on the door, literally almost beating the door down, just needing breakfast.
Wow.
And, you know, teachers have to keep food in their classrooms at their own expense constantly to deal with these hungry kids. So that's what Hunger Fight does. And they send these meals home with them over the weekend. They can feed them 4 meals for $1. It's an incredible cause. And so we're up to, I think last week we were at 13,000, if my memory serves. And this week we're at 18,300. So
nice.
We had almost you know, another 5,000 have come in this past week. So we want the community to come out, realize there's an issue, and that we're trying to step up and help deal with it. But at Christmas time, you just can't get better than Messiah for a great cause. So, you know, if you're out there and you either love Messiah or you love a good cause and you love a good Christmas event, I hope you'll come out. You can get your tickets at messiahforhungerfight.org.
Okay.
Messiahforhungerfight.org.
And there's a link to it on our website.
Yeah,
it's in the blog section.
Yep. So go to VanWeFinancial.com and scroll down to the blog, and you can link directly to it and help Larry out and all the nice people who are doing all this work very charitably.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the great part. All their packing, when they package these meals and things, it's all done by volunteers. And so it's an incredible work that they're doing, and it's an ongoing need. And so our goal is 50,000. We're up to 18,300 now.
It's a great thing, Larry. Good job.
We're pushing that $20,000 mark. So thanks again, you guys, for helping me to plug this. And I hope I'll see you there, Steve. I hope y'all. I don't know if y'all have gotten y'all's tickets yet.
Not yet, Larry. But my wife and I are talking about taking the kids, so we hope to see you there.
That would be great. I'd love to see you guys there. And anybody out there listening, come on out. MessiahForHungerFight.org is going to be a great weekend. December 8th and 9th is the date.
Okay.
Thanks, Larry.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. All right. The change after all of the headaches that the FANG stocks have been through over the past several weeks, they're still up 10.8% year over year today.
And that's with Facebook being down way more than that.
Yeah, it's ugly, 27.9% down. So, you know, don't give up on this market, people. You don't have to. This too shall pass, trust me. Well, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Go support your small business today because they need you desperately. We'll see you next week, same time. Have a very nice weekend. And this is the Benway Financial Hour.